Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
We're both going to speak a little bit this morning. I've been finding myself haunted by a piece of David Hinton's writing from Hunger Mountain as I've been traveling along with this road, or the road's been traveling along in me. And it has to do with something, the chapter on Bao, that he calls Bao, from the character Bao. And he speaks of bowing the center outward. And as we've been talking about our encounters with each arrival in with us, I guess I'm feeling this gesture of the bowing the center outward, which feels like both an unweaving of what in me felt made, an unmaking of it, to let the light come through in meeting the other, and an offering to weave together something new. Something new appears. The light comes through in that way. The light that's always present comes through in that way, through in the darkness and the thickness and the gooiness of whatever is, or the lightness of what is. And so I wanted to just read you this one piece of his writing. In every walk I take on Hunger Mountain, he says, I share the mind of Wander Mountain Born, who took her name from the title of a chapter in the Chuangzi, Wandering Boundless and Free. She's, and this is a character who just came to him in, as in a dream. She started small, practicing Chan meditation in one of Thach Hut's monasteries. Eventually, she found herself opening the grammar of emptiness between words, inventing poems with fewer and fewer words, scattered more and more widely across surfaces of silk. It was a beginning. She slowly perfected her art, opening that grammar out until her poems were made of the empty space that clappers and bells defined in the monastery's airy rooms and gardens. When she could not separate that space from her mind, she left the monastery and began walking. She simply wandered there among Thach Hut's peaks, making each day's walk its own poem. Ridgelines etched against sky, talus slopes, wildflowers whose names she had forgotten, snow flurries, raucous ravens scrawling out wind. As the years passed, she slowly added rhythms of breath and heartbeat, and finally, the thoughts that wove themselves through the landscape. If anything had survived of Wander Mountainborn's poetry, it would have been her explanation for how walking in the mountains could, in and of itself, be a poem. "I don't wander mountains," she said. "It's the mountains that wander."
So, as the bright road wanders onward, some companions of koanic nature, koan companions, will be joining it and us. And we will spend more time with them, our host koan and the visitors that you're about to meet this evening, and wander together with them. The bright road in everything you see and hear. And right now, there will just be the hearing of these. And no need to reach for them, try to remember them, grasp onto anything, because they're on paper and you'll be able to do the seeing of them as you wish. They'll be out here waiting. Pick them up at some point before the lunch break or the evening break, and if you don't pick them up at all, they'll be here for the evening if that's when your hand reaches out for them. So for right now, just let these words in. Let them pass by. Be like a branch sticking out in the snowstorm. Some of these snowflakes will land upon you, others will pass you by. And just notice which ones land upon you. And those that land upon you, some will stay, others will melt and fade, and others will be blown off by the next gust that comes through. So nothing to do other than be there, let this pass by and see what sticks and what companions you and wanders you. And then again, gather them up as you wish later and wander along together. Sarah and I will just take turns reciting these one by one. In the Amitabha Sutra it says, "Water, birds, trees, and forests, all without exception, recite the Buddha's name and preach the Dharma." Encountering this teaching, Dongshan composed a verse. "How extraordinary, how extraordinary! The preaching of the Dharma by non-sentient beings is a mystery. If we listen for it only with the ear, there's no chance of hearing it. But when sound is heard with the eye, then it can be understood."
American professor Bernard Phillips asked Zen teacher Hisamatsu Shinichi, "If you follow anyway, you'll never get there. And if you don't follow anyway, you will never get there." So one faces a dilemma. Hisamatsu replied, "Let that dilemma be your way.
A monk asked, "When the great matter of life and death arrives, then what?" Dasui said, "If there's tea, drink tea. If there's food, eat food." The monk said, "Who receives this support?" Dasui said, "Just pick up your bowl."
A student asked, "What is a bodhisattva before she becomes a Buddha?" Shosan said, "All beings." The student said, "How about after she becomes a Buddha?" Shosan said, "All beings, all beings."
Saoshan asked Elder Monk Day, "The Buddha's true essential body is like space. It responds to things, manifesting its forms the way the moon appears in the water. How do you explain this responsiveness?" Day said, "It's like a donkey watching a well." Saoshan replied, "That's most of it, but not the whole thing." Day asked, "What's it like for you?" Saoshan said, "It's like a well watching a donkey."
So in this next one, the great death that's referred to is enlightenment. Zhaozhou asked Tozi, "What's it like when you've gone through the great death and then come back to life?" Tozi said, "I don't accept walking around in the night. You have to get there by plunging into daylight."
Yangshan asked Zhongyi, "What does Buddha nature mean?" Zhongyi said, "I'll give you an analogy. Suppose a monkey is inside a room with six windows. From outside, someone shouts, 'Monkey, monkey,' and the monkey immediately responds. So it's just as if someone calls 'monkey' through one of the windows." Yangshan asked, "What about when the monkey is asleep?" Zhongyi came down from his teacher's seat, grasped Yangshan, and said, "Monkey, monkey, I greet you."
A student asked Yunmen, what is the conversation that leaps over the Buddhas and goes beyond the ancestors? Yunmen, excuse me, Yunmen said, cake.